right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday, bird. And Al is our first person in for his Two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. Al chose David Bowie day in, day out on Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Alrighty then. So the University of Tennessee is offering a Dolly Parton-themed history class. And, you know, of course, Dan, it totally makes sense that it's the University of Tennessee.
Sure does.
Because Dollywood is only a few miles away from the University of Tennessee. And Dolly Parton's life is a rags-to-riches story. Raised in poverty in rural Tennessee, she beat the odds and rose to international stardom as a country musician, actress, producer, and philanthropist. Now, the New York Times reports that the Southern Star's down-home roots are the focus of an honors history course offered at the University of Tennessee's main campus in Knoxville, called Dolly's America. This seminar uses Parton's personal journey as a lens through which to examine modern Appalachian culture. The singer grew up in Sevier County, which is 30 miles outside of Knoxville, and the class looks at how a quote-unquote hillbilly girl from Appalachia grew up to become an international one-word sensation. That is according to the course description of the university's website. Materials include Dolly Parton's 1994 autobiography, Dolly, My Life and Other Unfinished Business, books about Appalachia, movies, TV shows, and historic videos, and scholarly articles ranging from lighthearted to somber. They provide a framework for students to examine historic themes like child labor, regional poverty, and the federal state committee formed by President Kennedy that's known today as President's Appalachian Region Commission. So, yeah. It seems kind of like that would be pretty cool. Dolly's America also tries to dispel deep-seated stereotypes about rural America. Reading about how hillbillies and feuds began as made-up characters and tropes in novels and cartoons, to the rise of hillbilly music, to Christian entertainment, to the threat of tourism, students see the processes by which fiction often becomes fact and how heritage is a blend of the real and the imagined, the course description goes on. Dolly's America was taught for the first time last year and will be taught again in the fall of 2017. That said, admission is likely to be competitive, as the course recently received a Twitter endorsement by Parton herself. From the girl voted in high school least likely to succeed, this sure is a blessing, Dolly Parton tweeted out just last week. So there you go. Esmeralda, doesn't that sound like a pretty cool class, though?
Yeah, it's one of those, I bet you all these cool classes are those, that sounds neat, and then you go there and you're like, oh, I have to learn.
Yeah, right. You think it's all going to be like fun and games. No, we're right. Going to listen to Dolly Parton and watch 9 to 5. And then
you got to write papers.
Write a paper and do all that stuff that you normally do in a college course. So this got me to thinking, got us to thinking about some of the most unusual or the craziest or the weirdest college courses out there. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 with weird college courses that you've heard of. Maybe you've taken them. Maybe your friends or your neighbors or your son or your daughter or somebody has taken a strange course at a college that you would love to talk about. We've got some here. I got a couple of lists of college courses here that are real and that have been taught, that are accredited, and you would think that they're not real, but they are. 312-981-7200. Now, Esmeralda, you said a little bit earlier in the show that you took a course that was kind of weird.
I did. It was a Beatles course.
Okay.
I went to DePaul, and this was actually one of the reasons why I chose DePaul. It was, I can't remember exactly, but it was about the Beatles, and it was essentially going through the history of the Beatles and then comparing what was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also a music theory part to it.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was ridiculously hard.
Oh, boy.
Because I couldn't read music or anything.
Was Dana DiLorenzo in that class with you?
No, she was not.
Oh, okay. So it was not. So did you enjoy it? Was, you said that the music theory part was hard.
The music theory part was hard, but the rest of it was very interesting because, you know, it would be like, well, what's going on? What are they doing? And what's going on at the time in history?
Yeah.
And also our homework would always be like, listen to Let It Be. Watch Help. It's like, oh, cool, okay.
That's awesome.
And then we would discuss it in class. It was, that was the nice part.
That's great. And the other thing is, Esmeralda, that the period of time that the Beatles were together was a very changing and tumultuous time in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously, the historical aspect of the class must have been really fascinating and kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. And we also, you know, I because of the course, I had to get a bunch of Beatles books. So I have a lot of... So, yeah, I had to buy a bunch of Beatles... They were books, but they were, you know, they had that slant of, they were, you know, what was going on at the time.
So they were like, kind of thing. They were like historical textbooks, Beatles related.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I had to buy a fake book. Is it called a fake book? The guitar thing?
What?
With the tabs or whatever?
Oh. You right? mean like a music book? Like a...
With... Isn't it called a fake book or something?
I don't
like that?
Know.
It's for guitar, and it has all the music, and it was all of the Beatles songs. All of them.
All of every Beatles song, and they were all, it was all.
Yeah, it was guitar tabs or something.
Guitar tabs and music.
Yeah. Mm. I gave it to a friend of mine, so I'm like, I have no use for this.
Right.
It's cool to look at, but, ooh.
Yeah.
He played guitar, so I was like, you take it.
So wait a minute now. Let me ask you this. You said, was that one of the deciding factors that you went to DePaul because of this class?
Yeah. I had two choices. There was, I'd gotten into Loyola and DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the tours, and I remember looking at the DePaul course catalog and going, what? Mm. There's a Beatles course? And yeah, that kind of, and then the campus was gorgeous. So I'm like, yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
There's a Beatles class.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And there was a crazy wait list for it. I remember at the time. I don't think they teach it anymore. I don't think. I'm trying to search for it and I can't find it.
Mm.
But yeah, I remember I bet there's a wait list for it.
I bet there are a lot of Beatles-themed courses throughout the world.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, without question.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also, because I was in the communications degree, I had a class about reality TV.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's so, you know, and it's so social.
What was the syllabus for that?
Oh, I remember we would have to write papers on just, I remember writing a paper or some sort of thing I had to talk about. Do you remember the reality show? It was the daughters of like Tommy Hilfiger, and it was like a bunch of like socialites, but it was before Paris Hilton, I think, but it was like around that time.
I think so, yeah.
And it was Tommy Hilfiger's kid, and there were some other people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having to write something about that, and it was on MTV, I remember. But that's all we talked about, and I had books on reality television, and so, yeah.
And this was, what year are we talking about?
I would say probably between 2002 and 2004.
Okay, so that's like right at the height of reality TV pop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's still popular, hugely popular.
For sure.
But that was like when it really started to spike.
Yes.
Because after, you know, because Survivor debuted in 2000. The summer of 2000, Survivor debuted. And that kicked it all off. You know what I mean? And then the reality TV. I mean, obviously, it all goes back to the real world. Well, no, it doesn't really. It goes back to An American Family on PBS in the 70s. That was the very first one. And that's where... You ever see the movie, Esmeralda? Have you ever seen Albert Brooks' Real Life?
I don't think so, no.
All right. This was a movie called Real Life. Albert Brooks plays a filmmaker who is going to film a family 24 hours a day. The movie was made in 1979. It was released in 1979. And he was going to live with this family for a year and film everything that they do and then make a movie out of it. Charles Grodin played the leader, you know, the father in the family. And it was inspired by an American Family, which was a PBS show. That was really the very first one of those things. But then in 92, you know, some years later, outside of, you know, documentaries, the real world was the first sort of like, let's see what happens when we stick a bunch of people in the same room.
Yeah.
And I still love the first season of Real World.
No, it was the best.
Oh my God. My favorite season, I don't know what my favorite season of the Real World is. I love San Francisco because I loved Puck. And I loved that whole cast.
Seattle.
Oh, Seattle was great.
And Boston.
Boston was good, too. New York, But the second time they go back to New York where The Miz is on it.
Ugh.
And Cora.
No, I didn't like that one.
You didn't like Coral?
Meh.
Oh, I loved her. But yeah, so Hawaii was the first one that became, like, I thought, overtly exploitive in terms of, like, you know, the drinking and the sex and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii was because Ruthie was in the Hawaii episode,
yeah.
And she
yeah,
was a train wreck. And then once it got, as we've talked about this before, Vegas was the last time I watched it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Although those are the good ones when the behind the scenes they had to step in.
Yeah. Yeah. I went back and watched it again when they came back to Chicago. I did watch that just because it was Chicago and I couldn't watch it. I had to turn it off. So, all right. Well, there you go. You can give a college course on reality shows. And we'll take a quick break here. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to hear from you guys. And I've got some crazy college courses that are real that we can talk about. And if you've taken one or you know someone, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So give us a call. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Al requested David Bowie, that's Slow Burn. One artist, two songs. You get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. How is everybody? We're talking about strange college courses that maybe you have taken or you know of, and I've got a list here of some we'll go through, some that might be fun to take. Dan, did you ever have a weird college course? Did your college ever offer anything a little unusual?
Yeah, nothing that springs to mind. I once debated taking a weightlifting class that they offered. as is the case with most communications majors, I was not very athletic and not in shape, but I covered sports a lot. So I was constantly around the athletic and in shape. And so it was one of those things. It was like it was an hour credit and I had a gap, you know, whatever it was that, you know, I could get in one more hour if I wanted to. And so I debated. I did not.
Ultimately,
I did not take the
weightlifting
class that was offered. But I would be interested to see because, I mean, you know, part of me thinks it would have been obviously a total blow off. But I wonder if there is like obviously there is an art to doing it right so you don't get hurt.
Sure.
And all that stuff. So
I don't know how you apply that to a communications degree.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I would have just been an elective. Besides being with the athletes who are in there just to get a communications degree.
But you would be able to, you know, it would have been helpful. You'd been able to lift the microphone quicker.
Right. Well, you know, the joke I always made about radio when I first started, because a lot of the times it meant me figuring out what time that we have to break in order to hit news on time,
right,
as well as refill the water jug that went into the water filter. So I always used to joke that I got into radio because I didn't want to do math or heavy lifting, and all I did was math and heavy lifting.
It's true. It's true. All right. Let's see. Paxton on WGN. Hey, Paxton.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Good story by Ez and Dan, both.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, mid-70s, senior year English major at Xavier University, home of the Fighting Musketeers, by the way.
Mm.
And we had to make a choice between tutoring in the inner city of Cincinnati or taking an elective called History of the English Language. And I thought, how bad could it be? You know, diagram a few sentences, which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
And maybe read Beowulf again.
Oh God!
But, the first out of the gate, there was a lecture we had to see. It was called "The History of the Great Germanic Consonant Shift."
Oh man!
By Kingman Brewster, he came to give that lecture. So immediately I bailed out, volunteered for the inner city.
Wow. Well, that doesn't sound like too dry of a subject. Good God. Well, Paxton, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in here. So we found a story. Dan found a story about this. I was talking about the Keanu Reeves class. This might be the story that we were talking about. This is some years ago. A film instructor at the Arts Center College of Design in Pasadena has a totally excellent idea this semester. Instead of offering the usual course of films by avant-garde European directors, Rainer Werner Fassbinder and Jean-Luc Godard, he'll spend 12 weeks on the films of the triumphant actor and Olivier for the 90s, Keanu Reeves. Stephen Prina is offering a comprehensive study of Reeves' work, including the goofy teen comedy Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and its equally goofy sequel, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Students will students view a film a week, like Point Break, in which Reeves plays a surfing FBI, then surfing FBI agent, and then spend an hour discussing what they have seen. Yep, a full 60 minutes. Hey, listen, I could talk about Point Break for 6 hours. I could do
an... You should go in and be like a guest speaker.
Let's see. Students are also required to read a variety of essays with themes that Pirna say tie to various movies. For example, the week that the class views the original Bill and Ted, they read Nietzsche, Genealogy, History by Michel Foucault. Prina said he wanted to design a course about filmmaking in the 80s and focus the class on Reeves because the actor has appeared in a diverse set of films that exemplify a specific style. And, of course, I think he's quite good. Prina is serious about that. He contends that Reeves single-handedly has carried certain films, such as I Love You to Death, which co-starred William Hurt and Kevin Kline. He's great in that movie. He's great in I Love You to Death. To critics who write off Reeves as a one-trick pony, an actor who simply plays himself no matter what the character, Prina says, so what? The same can be said for Jack Nicholson, and he's an Oscar winner. I saw Much Ado About Nothing over the weekend, and the first time Keanu came up on screen, everyone laughed in the audience, and I almost stood up and gave a lecture. I like this guy. This guy and I would get along very well. Some students and others, however, think his selection of Reeves as a metaphor of modern films is most heinous and a bogus choice. Pirna says it was not designed to, the class was not designed to be provocative. And so Reeves may make an appearance in the remaining class on April 7th. So this was from a few years back. I'd take that course. I'd teach that course. I could teach the Keanu Reeves course. Like I said, I could do 6 hours on Point Break. Easy. And they would be fascinating. All right, we have to break. The news is coming up next, 312-981-7200. We're talking about unusual or strange college courses. It's Nick DiGilio and 720 WGN. And all your kids say, bring in your peace of mind before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight. No, yeah. You just need help, girl. Song is a jam. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday, yeah. Dave picks Paul Revere and the Raiders. Kicks. Yeah. And two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. Have you guys ever seen what Paul Revere and the Raiders looked like? How they dressed? Dan, have you?
I'm looking at a picture now.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of music from that time period, did you know that Tommy James and the Shondells are playing the Arcata Theater in September? And you know my love for Tommy James and the Shondells.
I was just going to say, have you purchased your tickets?
Oh, my God. Anyway. Yeah, if you want to see something cool, look at how Paul Revere and the Raiders dressed. They enjoyed costumings. Esmeralda, have you seen the Paul Revere and the Raiders costumes?
I saw them.
They're lovely. I'd like to take a class on Paul Revere and the Raiders.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
You said that during the break you did find the name of that Beatles class that you indeed took at DePaul.
Yeah, it's under the music. I don't know if it was there then, but it's under the music school.
Mm-hmm.
School of Music, under music business. It's called Rock Music, the Beatles, Music, Aesthetics, and Culture.
That's what it was?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. And it was harder than you thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because they make you, and they tell you in here, but I was like, it'll be easy. So topics covered, it's basic elements of music to allow students to analyze and compose simple songs. I was like, I can't compose anything.
Whoa.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. And you just thought it was going to be, we're going to watch Yellow Submarine and laugh.
But it was. It was part of that, but then they're like, and now music theory. And I'm like, what? What?
Wow. I got a couple of texts here. We're talking about strange or unusual actual college courses. Dolly Parton, there's a course on Dolly Parton in history. Keanu Reeves has his own course, which I would take an ace without question. You know, on the final, Dan, I would pull a Val Kilmer, and I would walk up and slide a note to the professor that just says, I aced this, and then give him an exploding apple. That's what I would do. Those of you who have not seen Real Genius, you don't know what we're talking about. Esmeralda, you still haven't seen Real Genius, have you?
No. Well, I saw bits of it, and I don't think I stopped. I didn't keep going.
Oh, man. Hey, Airborne. That movie rules.
Has V seen it?
Real Genius?
Yes.
Probably, yeah. I would say.
And I'm assuming both of you still haven't watched Used Cars.
No.
Oh, my God.
What's it going to be like when you guys move in together and you have cable? Because
neither of us have cable.
Oh, neither of you have cable?
No.
Wow. Because every time I see Moulin Rouge on, I want to text you and just be like, hey, it's on HBO right now.
Oh, God. I'm glad you don't do that to me. Throw my damn phone out the window. I hate that movie so much. 608 area code says, Marquette University in Milwaukee has a seminar about the Lord of the Rings series. It's because they own the Lord of the Rings original manuscript. What? They have the original J.R.R. Tolkien manuscript in Milwaukee? How is that? How did that end up in Milwaukee? Nothing against Marquette. I bet if we looked up college courses in Lord of the Rings, there'd be a million of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's much you can analyze in that.
There's a ton of avenues that you can take with the Lord of the Rings stories. Steven Galesburg says, I remember looking at a course catalog and they offered a class in ornamental horticulture, which basically means fancy gardening. Oh, man.
The reason Marquette has the J.R.R. Tolkien was thanks to the vision of head librarian William B. Reddy, who saw it as a important cultural touchstone, but at the time he was interested in obtaining it. Nobody else was interested in obtaining it, so they got it for less than $5,000.
Is that right? Boy, that's a steal, man.
Tolkien accepted offers to visit and speak at Marquette in both 1957 and 1959 and was happy that they adopted the...
Tolkien went to Milwaukee to speak?
On each canton, he canceled due to family concerns, but was scheduled to join them.
Oh, man. That's a great story. It's great. All right. Okay, you ready for some epic college courses, Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm.
Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse, Disasters, Catastrophe, and Human Behavior, Michigan State University.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Because you've seen those shows, right? The ones where they're like, what would happen if...
If this catastrophe happened?
Yeah. And I think they did Chicago or whatever. And they said if there was an apocalypse, it would look like Gary, Indiana.
Jeez.
Like what Gary looks like now. It's like, oh.
Okay.
Yikes.
So this Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse, Disasters, Catastrophes, and Human Behavior. This online course allows MSU students and from other colleges also to take the course for credit. You can also enroll as a member of the general public without credit. That way nobody is left to fend for themselves in the event of a zombie apocalypse. You'll explore how humans behave during catastrophes and the idea behind why some humans are able to survive better than others through experiencing challenges and tasks as a simulated student survivor within a group of other student survivors. So we can take that. We don't even have to be enrolled, Esmeralda. Let's take the zombie apocalypse course.
We just got to go to Michigan.
You can do it online, right?
Can you?
Yeah, it's an online course.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, when is it? Tuesday, Thursdays, Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
I don't It's whenever the zombies attack. You have to be ready. You have to be on call.
I see.
Oh, man. Okay, how about this one? Oberlin's EXCO courses, okay? The Experimental College. Oberlin's Experimental College courses. You ready? Beginning Dungeons & Dragons. They have Beginner Beekeeping. They have a class on Tarot. And a class on Calvin and Hobbes.
Ooh. Wait, Tarot like the food?
Tarot cards.
Oh, okay.
Oberlin's Experimental College is actually an organization run by its students, which offers a myriad of unique courses. The cool part, participants can earn credits for unusual subjects like what we mentioned, beginner beekeeping, tarot, Calvin and Hobbes, and beginning Dungeons and Dragons.
Wait, what's that movie where they make their own college up?
The fantastic best movie of 2006 accepted?
Is that this? This is that, isn't it?
Starring our good friend Jim O'Hare?
That's right, Jim O'Hare. When we said that, it's his favorite movie. And he's like, hey, I was in that! out of those, I would take... I don't think I'd take any of them.
I would be interested in beekeeping. Like, you can't get stung, right, when you're in that suit?
I don't think so.
Like, at all?
I don't think so. I would imagine that's why they wear the suit.
Right, but, you know, sometimes they can get through.
Yeah, I don't
if
know.
If there is no chance that I would be stung,
yeah,
I would take beekeeping. Because that's interesting.
Oh, it is interesting. I used to, when I was a kid, I was allergic to bees.
Yeah, I've never been stung, so I don't need to get stung.
But
it would be cool to, you know, because it would be quite satisfying, I'm sure.
I think
get the honey out. And...
I think the sting is greatly reduced. Because Steve and Johnny used to have on that guy that iconic picture of that guy who's bald and he's got bees covering him.
Did he have a bead beard?
He did not have a bead beard, but if you saw the image, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And he was on the show every once in a while, and he's obviously been stung over a million times, and I think it just like,
jeez,
you know, it kind of doesn't puncture all the way through, but you can definitely feel it. So
oh, so they'll sting you,
yeah,
but because you're wearing that thick old suit.
Right.
It doesn't hurt as much.
Ugh.
Yeah. What about, you guys all love, I'm the only person in the world doesn't like Calvin and Hobbes. You guys all love Calvin and
Hobbes.
How do
you not like Calvin and Hobbes?
I don't think it's funny. I don't know. I just don't think it's funny. Gary Busey does in Point Break. When he asked for the two meatball sandwiches, he's reading the newspaper around the stakeout in front of the bank. This Calvin Hobbes is funny. That's what.
Like your friend Gary Busey
for his turkey dinner. This Calvin Hobbes is funny.
The Dungeons and Dragons one I could get for free.
Yeah.
I know way too many people who play it.
Yeah, but you can't get yourself a credit though through your friends.
Yeah, I'd be curious how they do that.
Yeah.
Do you form groups?
Is it
pretty cut and dry? They just kind of tell you what goes on?
Look up Oberlin's Experimental College. Then they'll give you all the details on your Calvin and Hobbes.
Do you become a dungeon master at the end?
This Calvin and Hobbes is funny. Utah, give me two. I'm telling you, the Keanu course, I could do 7 hours on Point Break. We could analyze the Calvin and Hobbes moment.
So you think it's going to be easy, but I bet you have to write big, long papers comparing them to stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't make people do a 20-page paper on Point Break.
Right. It has to be like, what does society
deem right
or something?
And because there's so many, because Bodhi has so many philosophies in the film.
Right.
That there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can dig into there.
Yeah,
he's a very philosophical dude, Bodhi.
What's the moral dilemma, this and that?
There's a spirituality involved in it. Also, how to rob a bank. We can go into that. All right. Hey, we got a break. We got weather and traffic. If you want to jump in with your college courses that are weird or unusual, 312-981-7200, 2 for Tuesday as well. Yeah, morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. Two for Tuesday. Dave and his second song from Paul Revere and the Raiders, Arizona. And, yeah. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And if you have taken a strange course at college, or you know of some weird courses, or somebody that took one, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Here's one, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Clara University. And the class is entitled The Joy of Garbage. This course uses garbage as a gateway to studying aspects of environmental science like decomposition, recycling, waste management, sustainability, and nuclear waste. If that doesn't get you excited, this certainly will. There are class field trips to sanitation plants and landfills. Cool. The Joy of Garbage. Would you take that one, Esmeralda?
It would be kind of neat, because then maybe they would teach you composting or something like that. Maybe, no.
Well, do you really need to be taught composting? Just put the stuff in a compost.
There's a little more than just throwing it in a box.
Well, you put it in the composter.
And then what do you think happens?
And then it disappears into the filter of the world.
Okay.
And becomes meat.
Sure. All right.
All those banana peels become hamburger patties.
Yep. Perfectly rounded.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
When he first asked you, do you think he was talking about the band Garbage?
That would be amazing. I wish.
Yeah, man. How about this one? Ice cream, short course. Pennsylvania State University. Oh, no, I brought up ice cream again. Everybody's going to get mad because I don't have any in my pocket. Ever wonder how Ben and Jerry got into the ice cream industry? They actually began by taking this course. Learn the ins and outs of the ice cream industry, from cow to cone. At the end of the day, many of these course titles are little more than misleading. Anything that entices a student to attend a class, revitalizes attention in classic subjects, is a bonus in our book, as long as colleges know where to draw the line between looking at a subject in a different light versus ignoring classic subjects altogether. So there you go. Learn how to do ice cream. You already have that course covered. You have an ice cream maker at home, so you're fine.
Yeah, I got a book.
You got a book and an ice cream maker?
Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yeah. 773 area code says, I remember in 2011, the Northwestern Psychology Department had a class that would have had a live sex act. Of course, that was dropped after much controversy. We talked about it on the air. In fact, I think if I remember correctly, I had somebody on from Northwestern to talk about it. That was huge news. 262 area code says, when taking my sons to look at colleges, multiple schools had the Watchmen as a course. Really? Well, I guess I can see that. There's a lot of stuff going on in that. Yeah. You ever read that comic, Dan?
I did, yes.
I did, too. It's one of the only comics I've ever read. I like the whole thing, the whole book. Benji gave it to me at Ricochet's, because about a month before the movie came out, he was like, you should read this.
Yeah, so you could see what...
And except for the ending, frame for frame. You know what right. I mean? Like, panel... like it was really shocking, Zack Snyder, but, like, except for the ending,
right.
Which is completely different.
Right.
It's the most faithful thing I've ever, like, comic book I've ever seen. Would you agree?
I would, yes. You know, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it is shot for shot in many instances,
yeah.
Which is part of the point, because it's a graphic novel that's very focused on parallels and symbolism and things like that.
Peter in Decatur says, one class I took at Millikan was Comics as Art. The teacher had us read underground comics like Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers and Zap. Oh, that's cool. He supplied the library with his collection that we could check out. We had a final project that was to be due that was somehow comics related. A group of us made a superhero movie complete with very crude special effects. This was before VCRs, so we used 8mm film. when it was developed, we spliced it together in the editing process, very low tech. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Jimbo. Hi, Jimbo. Jimbo says Real Genius is one of the best movies ever made. You don't have to tell me that, Jimbo. Tell Esmeralda. And Airborne. 312 says, don't diss Paul Revere and the Raiders. I'm not. I like Paul Revere and the Raiders. They just dress like idiots. Don't diss Paul Revere and the Raiders. I love them. I went to their concert. It was my first concert. They rock. I agree. I think Paul Revere and the Raiders rule. They just dress like goofuses. 219 area code says, there are plenty of online courses about surviving the zombie apocalypse. They're called video games. that's true. 773 area code says, I'm taking a beekeeping class and there's always a chance of being stung. Oh, see, Esmeralda, that's disappointing.
I'm out.
No?
I've never been stung. I don't want to start.
I don't think anybody wants to be stung by a bee. Do you think? I mean,
well, yeah, that's why I will avoid a place where that's all there is there.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to be stung by a bee.
That's why I've stayed intact. I've never broken a bone.
You shouldn't be talking about that.
Because I don't do stuff
that's going to break your bone.
Right.
That's a smart way of thinking.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't take this next course, Esmeralda, that I'm going to mention.
What's that?
Jay in Ohio says, Nick, Ohio State has introductory skydiving.
Mm-mm. I'm out.
You could certainly break a bone there, Esmeralda.
No, thank you.
What?
Unless you get to go to that place where they just kind of, where the air
well, there's one, you
circles
know,
around
you.
You
know there's one in Rosemount, right?
Yeah.
Like right across the street from the Movieco Theater.
Yeah, I would do that.
Indoor, you know, you could break a bone doing that.
Yeah,
you could absolutely break a bone doing that.
I mean, yes, I could break a bone walking down the street, but...
Well, you're more likely to break a bone having a fan blasting you in the face.
Yeah, but there's like cushions and stuff,
No.
Right?
You could break bones doing that. Yeah. But introductory... What is an introductory skydiving course? What does that consist of? Hey, welcome to class. Is that what it is? That's your day one class right there. You get your credit. when you hit the ground, you will have a diploma. There'll be a diploma waiting for you. All right. Hey, oh, news. 3 seconds. Baby, don't get hooked on me. Baby, don't get hooked on me. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I will battle in another epic pop-up video contest. And we'll get to hear Esmeralda sing. The cats are just starting to line up outside right now, and some of the cats are now putting on their capes to get ready. Have we heard from Skip Skipley? Is he on the way?
He is on the way. The pigeons relayed as much.
Okay, so Skip Skipley's on the way from post-retirement, and we'll do that again. It's 2 for Tuesday.
Yeah!
And Glenn picked Mac Davis, Baby Don't Get Hooked on Me. Yeah! You guys remember the movie Cheaper to Keeper? Dan, do you remember the movie Cheaper to Keeper?
No.
Esmeralda, how about you? Have you seen the movie Cheaper to Keeper?
I have not, no.
See, Mac Davis, as you may or may not know, Mac Davis is a country star, singer, hosted some variety shows. And then he starred in the movie North Dallas 40, and he was... shockingly good in it. Like, amazingly good in it. He played the quarterback of the football team with Nick Nolte as his receiver. And North Dallas 40 which is my favorite sports movie of all time, which is odd because football is not my favorite sport. So, yeah. But anyway, North Dallas 40 is my favorite football movie of all time. And after that movie, Mac Davis was offered lots of parts because he was great. And he took Cheaper to Keeper. There's another visual you might want to check out is the poster for Cheaper to Keeper. Like, it's like Mac Davis. If I remember, it's Mac Davis doing like an Uncle Sam thing, I think, where he's like pointing and saying, hey, you're cheap to keep. I can't remember what it looks like. Have you guys dialed it up? If you just like Cheaper to Keeper poster.
And the one I'm looking at, two women are ripping off his shirt while his arms are folded.
That's what it is. Yep. Yeah, that's what it is.
And it's drawn.
Yeah. You know what I got it confused with? Oh, you know what I got it confused with? I'll tell you what I got it confused with. Burt Reynolds movie, Paternity. Take a look at that artwork. That's how I kind of melded the two in my brain socket. But yeah, Paternity, Burt Reynolds. And that's the Uncle Sam thing. And that, I believe, is drawn as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you are correct.
Paternity and Cheaper to Keeper, two classics. Oh, man. Boy, Cheaper to Keeper was bad. God.
Please tell us the plot, because I'm creating a movie in my head.
I'm trying to remember. He's just a total womanizer in it. Confirmed bachelor. I don't know. Look it up on IMDb for the plot. I just remember Mac Davis was in it, and he was a womanizer. That's the only thing, and it was terrible. That's the only thing I remember. And women tear his shirt off because he's so damn sexy. Because of his hair. He's got that curly hair. He's got the white man fro.
A newly divorced swinger on the prowl goes to work as a detective for a neurotic feminist attorney.
I totally forgot that he was a detective? Wow. Okay. Well, I wonder if there are any courses that we can study in Mac Davis. Is there a Mac Davis course that we can take? Or just specifically a Cheaper to Keeper course? Perhaps we can just study Cheaper to Keeper for an entire semester. Oh, man. All right. All right, more unusual college courses here. All right, at Cornell University, they offer a course in tree climbing. So, Esmeralda, you're not into that because that you could break your leg.
Yeah.
Why learn to climb a tree as a kid when you can grow up and pay a college to teach you to take the course? Clearly, you'll be much better than a little boy down the street because you're a college-level tree climber.
Mm. I have a few friends who are from that area. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
That they real would... hippy-dippy over there.
Yeah. All right, well, how about this one? The demystifying the hipster. That's a course, demystifying the hipster at Tufts University Experimental College. It's not all American Apparel and indie tracks. The voice of our generation is composed of so much more than just stereotypes. And Jacqueline O'Dell's Experimental College course delves deep into the definitions, debates, and the history of the hipster. Through developing their own standard of what it means to be a hipster, students become experts and critics of hipster identity and culture. All right. Does that mean you have to buy Axe, you know, body spray? No, that's the demystifying the douchebag. That's a different course. Oh, man. How about this one? Feminist perspective, politicizing Beyonce. Take that class at Rutgers. Calling all the single ladies, this exploration of Queen Bee Bay, or what is it, Bay? Queen Bay?
Yes.
Her influence on feminism, race, gender, and culture helps students become more aware of the way pop culture shapes society. Can Beyonce's music be seen as a blueprint for progressive social change? That's one of the questions that will be answered if you take feminist perspectives politicizing Beyonce.
See, that's where they get you. Because you're like, oh, it's a Beyonce class.
Right.
And then you got to answer questions about politics and...
Right. Well, they wouldn't get me.
Write papers. Oh.
Yeah. Because it was like, you seem, if it was a, I saw a class, it was a class about Beyonce. Okay, good. It sounds very uninteresting already. I've got no interest in that whatsoever. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you've taken any weird classes. And if anybody knows what Mac Davis is up to now, I'm concerned. Is Cheaper to Keep Her on Blu-ray? Can we find out if she can call Tuckman? Can you call Tuckman right now? Because I really want to get Cheaper to Keep Her on Blu-ray.
Hey, Jeff. Calling on behalf of future Walk of Famer Nick DiGiulio. He's in the hospital recovering from all the coaches beating him up. We need you to do a little research.
Yeah. Can you find out if Cheaper to Keep Her is available on 4K? Who else was in that, Dan? Did it say?
Tova.
What? Tova?
Tova, I believe her name is. I flipped over. Hang on. Let me see if I can pull
it. All right.
Up.
Okay. The Cheaper to Keep Her IMDb page is not bookmarked on your computer.
Shockingly, it does not have. as I went to his Wikipedia page to see if we can get an update on him, Cheaper to Keep Her does not have its own Wikipedia.
It doesn't even have its own Wikipedia. How can you not have a Wikipedia page dedicated?
The female lead was Tova Feldsha.
Oh, okay. She went on to greatness. Who directed it? Mel Stewart? I don't know why that name popped into my head.
Director Ken Anakin.
Ken Anakin?
Ken Anakin.
He went on to be Darth Vader. Hold on a minute. Wait a second. Now hold it. Wait a minute.
He went on to direct The New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking.
This just keeps getting better, man. You know? The more secrets we discover of Cheaper to Keep Her, the more interesting it gets. All right. We have to break here. We got weather and traffic, and then we'll wrap up the whole weird college course thing and then pop up video. Perhaps we'll get a Mac Davis video when Skip gets here from the soundtrack of Cheaper to Keep Her.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble.
Yeah.
But I'm doing the best that I can.
There he is, man. Star of the legendary film Cheaper to Keep Her. Glenn has chosen Mac Davis. It's hard to be humble. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Bird. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Oh, Mac Davis. All right. Some more unusual college courses here. Film genre, the zombie film. University of California, Berkeley. That's not very unusual, right? I mean, I'm sure there's like a ton of zombie film courses that colleges offer. It's only one of the most popular subgenres in movies. Whether you're a zombie fanatic or just looking to mentally prepare yourself for the zombie apocalypse, this course sounds pretty amazing. Seriously, what other course can you get credit for while watching zombie flicks and talking about them with your buddies afterwards? It sounds like a regular Friday night. Get credit while you can. Okay. Oh, here's one from Columbia College right here in Chicago. And it involves zombies. Zombies in popular media. There's no shortage of options when it comes to a course about zombies given the recent popularity within society. This course allows you to explore how, where, and why zombies have taken over our screens and other forms of media. Get credit for reading zombie lit comics and watching zombie films simply because you can. So that's at Columbia. How about The Art of Walking, Esmeralda? Would you just
like just down the street, or
it says no. Someone's talking to me in my ear, so I don't even. That's okay. Something just happened in my ear. All right. Anyway, the art of walking. You walk anyway, so why not get a course credit for it, Esmeralda? Come on. The course touches upon walking as a lost form of transportation that has fallen behind automobiles and other fasted methods of transport. Since it's part of the study abroad curriculum, you get to do so while exploring awesome countries. Students will follow lesson plans based around walking and its relationship to beauty and art in new areas around them. What about that?
That could be cool.
Yeah. Just walking. All right, how about this? Hashtag selfie class. University of Southern California. Yeah, this is a class that I would sign up for in a millisecond, considering how much I love the selfie. Explore the rise of the selfie within this course, which is actually a writing course. There you go, Esmeralda. There's the trick right there. You think you're just going to be taking stupid pictures of yourself, but no, you got to write. From what we understand, you'll take selfies and then reflect on questions regarding yours and other people's selfie takers from within society. You see them every day. Why not understand a little bit more about them? Plus, you'll amp up your selfie game. What does that mean?
Like ways to take your selfie?
I guess. Put the camera in front of your face and press the button. That's.
Well, you got to go with a higher angle to avoid the double chin. Mm-hmm. Do you go duck face, not duck face?
There's right lighting.
I don't care. I hate selfies, man. I hate them so much. I love stories where, like, you know, somebody's at the zoo. I'm going to take a selfie with this monkey, and then the monkey rips their face off while they're taking the picture. There's your selfie. Enjoy your genitals being torn off while you're taking your selfie. This one's cool. How about this one? I think we should all take this one. The History of Toys. Otis College of Art and Design. While this course is intended for toy design majors, it still sounds pretty cool. Students will study toys throughout history, including social and cultural perspective on both toys and games. You'll also explore the development of the toy industry as well as the creation of toys and their uses within society. That sounds cool. Hey, have you seen this new show, commercials for this new show with the dude from Modern Family, Eric Stoneface? What's his name? Stone Lips?
Street.
Stone Street. All right. It's like Shark Tank with kids. Have you seen this?
That seems terrible.
They bring in...
make the kids cry?
No. The kids aren't coming in with ideas. The kids are the sharks. They're the ones running the tank. Eric Broadlips brings in a toy that's been invented by somebody. Like a brand new toy. The guy comes in and goes, hey, I invented this toy. And then they let some six-year-olds play with it. And then the six-year-olds go, this sucks. And in some cases, like, it's a guy who's worked 30 years and spent thousands of dollars on this toy, brings it in, and some six-year-old goes, get out of here. I don't even, what the hell is it called? Toy Face? What? It's Toy... Toy Box, I think. I think it's Toy Box. It's Shark Tank with kids. I think it
toy
looks...
Box.
Is it, what's it called? Toy,
toy Box?
Toy Box. What is it on? What channel? ABC?
ABC.
ABC. Doesn't that sound fantastic, Esmeralda? These little kids destroying the dreams of 50-year-olds who have been working for 25 years trying to design a great game and a toy?
I mean, they probably should have done a little more research with kids.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. I saw a commercial for it. It looks fantastic. A bunch of kids going, this toy sucks, throwing it across the room. Then the inventor's on the other side of the room crying. His whole life's work has gone up in flames. Because some six-year-old didn't like it. And then the setup on the show, you know what the full setup, though, Dan? Do you know the full setup of it?
I am not.
It's eight episodes, okay? So they bring in toys throughout each episode. Kids go no or yes, depending on whether they like the toy or the toy is fun or not. And then the final episode, they crown a winner. You know, so there is a toy that wins, and then Mattel makes the toy and sells it. And after the eighth episode, immediately at the end of the episode, it's available online on Amazon and or on Toys R Us. It's Toys R Us, I think, just Toys R Us. And Toys R Us, you can go to the brick-and-mortar Toys R Us and buy it. So it's like immediately you see it on the finale and go, oh, that's cool. You can order it immediately and get it sent to you. So there you go. Toy Box with Eric Broadbones. His name is Stone Street. Eric Stone Street. All right. Well, there you go. There's some weird courses right there. And watch Toy Box. I don't know why I just did a 5-minute commercial for this damn show I haven't even seen. Shark Tank with kids. That would be terrible, though, Esmeralda. You're absolutely right. It would be terrible if it were little kid inventors who come in with an invention. Get out of here, you little punk. It sucks. And the kids cry. They leave with their little toy. That would be awful. All right. We have to break. And the news is coming up next. And then, I think I hear the jet landing on top of Tribune Tower. Skip Skipley. All right. We'll be right back.